This is a reading from the book of Acts. Peter's report to the church at Jerusalem. The apostles and the believers throughout Judea heard that the Gentiles also had received the word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, the circumcised believers criticized him and said, "You went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them." Starting from the beginning, Peter told them the whole story. "I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it and saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, 'Get up, Peter, kill and eat.' I replied, 'Surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth.' The voice spoke from heaven the second time, 'Do not call anything impure that God has made clean.' This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying. The Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers also went with me, and we entered the man's house. He told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, 'Send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved.' As I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them as he had come on us at the beginning. Then I remembered what the Lord had said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave them the gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections and praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." This is the word of the Lord.
This second reading, full of hope and anticipation, is taken from the book of Revelation, chapter 21, verses 1 to 6. A new heaven and a new earth. "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, 'Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people, and he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away.' He who was seated on the throne said, 'I am making everything new.' And then he said, 'Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true.' He said to me, 'It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life.' This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God."
Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man is glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you: love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, Everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ.
We like to use the word new. And Jesus, through his death on the cross and the resurrection on the third day, created a new life, a new creation, a new beginning, a new relationship. So we are part of the new creation, the new life. In this new life, we have new covenant. What is this new covenant? Covenant means agreement. God, throughout the Old Testament, made several agreements. The technical term is covenant. I think covenant is the right word to use. But to our understanding, we use the word agreement. God made several agreements. He made agreement with Noah, he made agreement with David, Moses, okay. And the final agreement is his new covenant, new agreement. What is that? I will die for your sins and rise again the third day. You come to me, I will forgive your sins. And with that agreement, with that covenant, we come to him every Sunday. Then we have new commission. What is that new commission? All four gospels talk about that new commission. Go and preach the gospel to all nations. And we are going to talk today about new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you. What is new in this commandment? We have been listening to this even in the Old Testament, love one another. But the earlier commandment is love one another as you love yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the way we have understood so far. Now Jesus is giving a commandment saying that love one another as I have loved you. I have set up the standard. I have given you the model. And this is the way you are going to love one another. Now, what is this model? What is unique about this Jesus love? What is special about Jesus love? That's what I thought we will discuss very quickly today. There are three points that I want to bring from Jesus' love for our meditation this morning. Number one, the uniqueness of Jesus' love is personal identification with us. He identifies with us personally. His incarnation is the model. He left everything. He crossed all the barriers and came and dwelt among us. His baptism is an identification. He didn't need to take baptism, but he took baptism in order to identify with us. I am on the side of humans. I am with human beings. He identified with us. John, in his letters, he says this very beautifully. If you read 1 John chapter 1, he says, our eyes have seen him. Our hands have touched him, embraced him. We sat with him and we ate with him. We embraced him. We stayed with him. What he says is that he became one among us. He became part and parcel of our life on this earth. He identified with us. He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he left everything and he came and dwelt among us. He personally identified. He identified with the needy, the rejected, the poor. And that was the complaint of Pharisees. Look, this man is sitting with the tax collectors, sinners, and prostitutes. He comes and goes with all these rejected group. He identifies with the needy. The second lesson that we read today from Acts of the Apostles, you would notice the struggle the early Christians had. What is the struggle? Oh, we are Jews. We are not supposed to go and sit with the Gentiles. We are the circumcised. They are uncircumcised. Peter also had that kind of an idea. So Peter was given a vision. And in that vision, he understood this message that God is God of all. And through his death and resurrection, he has broken that barrier. Now, Paul, in his letter to Galatians, he says there is no difference between Jew and Gentile, free and slave, male and female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. All the barriers have been broken. So we don't need to carry the barrier. You belong to this region, or you belong to an educated group, or you are an illiterate group, you are a rich man, you are a poor person. No. We can identify with everyone because such barriers are totally broken by our Lord Jesus. We can easily identify. Jesus identified with everyone. Even with the women. Women were not allowed to sit with any rabbi, but he allowed. And he made women as the first witness of his resurrection. He participated with the struggles of the people. He identified with them in their struggles, in their pain, in their sorrow. Very beautiful. A man came to him, a person who was a leper, who had the skin disease. He cannot come closer to any person. According to their custom, he should stand at least 6 feet away from anyone. So a leper came to Jesus, stood 6 feet away from him, knelt there. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus walked those 6 feet and went to him. He touched him, which is a very important one. While he was still having that particular disease, particular leprosy, Jesus touched him and said, "Yes, I am willing. You be clean." He participates in the struggle of a person. You must be remembering Jesus raising the young man from the dead. He went to a village called Nain. As he entered the village, he confronted a funeral procession. They were going to bury a young man. Very simple. He is a miracle worker. He can raise people from the dead. He could have easily gone and said, "Young man, get up." He didn't do that. He first went to the mother, who was a widow, said, "Don't cry." And then he came back to the dead body and the young man, and he said, "Man, get up." He participates. We all know the shortest words in the Bible is, "He wept." He wept over the death of his friend Lazarus. But there was no need for him to weep. Why he should weep? In a few minutes, he is going to raise him up from the dead. But still he wept. So we have a wonderful God who participates in the struggles of our people. He identifies with us in our struggle, So Jesus joins with us, identifies himself with us personally. Some of you know that I was a missionary. I worked as a missionary in India. That means I left my hometown, my own culture, and I moved to a different culture. There I preached the gospel. Once I was posted in a place which is northeast, and we worked among a group called Sandalis. Sandalis are the tribes. I was posted in that mission station for a short period, for a month, and I lived in a compound where we had a missionary leader or field missionary field in charge or something you can call it. So he had a very different idea about food habits. He said pork cannot be eaten and pork meat cannot be brought to this compound. I don't know from where he got that idea. Probably he read this Old Testament, some lessons, and then he got that idea. So he gave instruction to all the people who were living in the compound that you are not supposed to eat pork. Now, I arrived there. I did not know about that rule. And these people who were there, they asked me whether I would eat pork. I said, yes, no problem. And fortunately, this particular mission leader was away for a month or so. So they brought and I ate. The next day when I went with these evangelists to the villages, they started introducing me to the people saying like this, look, he is our man, he eats pork. And I stayed there for only 1 month, and I would say every visit to the villages was highly productive. You identify with people. See, our churches failed because we failed to identify with people. Jesus came to us where we are. Jesus loves us as who we are. He doesn't come with the judgment. He comes to us with the full of love, and he wants to sit with you, identify with you, encourage you, motivate you, embrace you. Wonderful God. We come up with this idea of I am better than you, holier than you. That's a kind of an attitude that keeps people away. If you want to love people, the first step is identify with them, go with them, sit with them. I think that is the need of the day now. People are lonely. People don't have anyone to talk to. People have, you know, I feel that Dutch has got many cycles, and also Dutch has got many dogs and pets. Find ways and means to sit with people, identify with them, love them. You don't need to think about who he is or who she is, what they have done. That's not our worry. Love them. The second uniqueness about our Lord Jesus is his selfless service. He went on serving the people. Jesus said, Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Son of Man came with the one intention. That intention is to serve people. I have come to serve you. You know, if you look at Jesus' ministry, he was always accepting, receiving, embracing, welcoming, inviting. And he did that to serve the people. People could come at midnight, knock at his door. He wouldn't say, sorry, this is not a sociable time. You can come tomorrow. Nicodemus came at midnight. He couldn't come during the daytime because of the political situation of that time. And Jesus didn't reject him. He opened the door and he wanted to serve him. And he was always available. Early in the morning, even if people go to him, he would be available. People stayed till the evening. He was available. And he would receive people to heal them. Anyone who came to him with sickness, he did not send them away, but he healed them and sent them away. The disciples at some point came to Jesus. Jesus, it's getting dark. People have been sitting here for a very long time. We had to send them home. Jesus said, feed them. And that's where we hear this beautiful story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. We know that he washed the feet of his disciples, and he even washed the feet of Judas Iscariot. No literature in the world shows that a leader washed the feet of his servants or of his followers. This is his signature action. That is his signature action. He washed the feet of his disciples. Even in two Sundays ago, we meditated on Jesus serving his disciples after his resurrection. The disciples, seven of them, went for fishing. They came in the morning full of, they were tired, they were weary. Jesus made them sit, and he went to everyone individually and handed over them fresh bread and grilled fish. He still served. Let's ask this question: what does Jesus do now? He is seated at the right hand of the Father, praying for all of us. He is still serving. What a great God. He keeps serving. What is his job? If you ask him, he will say, serve, serve, serve. One of the great models of this world that I always look up is Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa got her Nobel Peace Prize in 1997, long time ago. But she still continued to live a life of simplicity. She served the poor till her death in 1997 when she was 87. And she says something very beautiful. I will bring two quotations and I move on. Not all of us do great things, but we can do small things with great love. And another quotation which is very important: a life not lived for others is not a life. A life that is not lived for others is not a life. So Jesus served others willingly, selflessly. The third point that I want to bring about Jesus' love is his sacrificial love. He loved us. He loved us unconditionally. When I look at his love, these three things I keep saying: unconditional, undying, self-giving love. Unconditional. He loves us unconditionally. When we love, always something there in back of our minds. Oh, I love him because he belongs to my region. I love him because his appearance or her appearance seems to be pleasing. I love him because he is intelligent or she is smart. I love him because he has done something for me. So our love comes with that kind of a condition. But Jesus' love comes unconditionally. He loves all of us, not because we are somebody great, not because we have done something remarkable. He loves us because he loves us. If you go to your mother and ask, why do you love me? She will say the same: I love you because I love you. God loves us. Jesus loves us because he loves us. He doesn't have any kind of a reason to love you. He is the one who created us. He is the one who died for us on the cross and rose again the third day. And he loves us as we are, and he comes to us. Very beautiful. Bible clearly says that God is love. Love is not God. If we say love is God, then we are personifying love as God, and we try to give definition from our understanding. We try to define what is love. But Bible doesn't talk about love is God. Bible talks about God is love. He defines what is love, and he defined it beautifully from the cross. That's the love, unconditional love, self-giving love. God is love. And his love is sacrificial. I think I said this before one or two years ago, that God's love, how is it and how we can differentiate between our love? The human love is something like this: get. When you don't get it, you forget it. But God's love is something like this: give, and forgive. At least we can remember that. He continues to love us, and he continues to forgive us when we go. And that forgiveness did not come free of cost. That cost his life on the cross. So his love is sacrificial, self-giving love. I'll finish with this illustration. John, Apostle John, probably he's the only apostle who had died naturally. His death was natural death. We do not know, but he, at this old age, died naturally. That's what the tradition says. When he was very old, when he could not speak much, he could not preach. So people came to him, and he would say only this: little children, love one another. Little children, love one another. So people asked him, why you are saying this? You don't have anything else to say. So he would say, if you do this, you do enough. If you do this, you do enough. Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you. Are you willing to identify with people? Are you willing to serve them selflessly? Are you willing to show your love sacrificially? May the dear Lord help us to love one another as Jesus loved. God bless us all. Amen.